This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
My name's Bob, and I'm glad you guys are here tonight! Before we can get all wound up, I want to give a big shout-out to Jimmy Hoare in the front. Those folks listening in tonight on the Disney Nerd Podcast, we want to welcome you all.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 240 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, we're going to give you some of the tips that we've learned over the last couple years that are the tips we don't usually give out. And I'll explain that in a second. Before I do though, let me introduce who's going to be on the show this week. And actually, this week, we're going to do the introductions just a little different. We haven't done this in a while, and I figure because we have so many people on tonight, we're going to take advantage of that. So let's start with Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
Hey, man, how's it going? I'm fantastic. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. Now, you're fresh off a trip from Walt Disney World, too, aren't you?
I am.
Oh, excellent. We're going to talk about that in a second. But before we do, let's hit these questions. Now, these are just five kind of questions we kind of threw together, kind of give you a feel of our experiences, perhaps, or just kind of our likes and things like that about the parks. You can listen to any of the shows and you'll get an idea of kind of where our ideas come from or where our experiences come from. Okay, so Jimmy, here you go. When was your first trip to Walt Disney World?
1986.
Family trip? School trip?
Family trip.
Nice.
Family vacation. I was 11.
Oh, okay. What's your favorite ride at the world?
I would have to say Haunted Mansion.
Well, that's cool. How about the favorite park?
You know, I always flip-flop back between these two, but today I'm going to say Epcot.
Why today? What was the big thing this time around?
I don't know. Sometimes I'll say Magic Kingdom. I love Magic Kingdom for all the... You know, I love Magic Kingdom and Epcot, but for completely two different reasons. I love the whimsy and the history behind Magic Kingdom, and I think it's so much closer to, you know, Walt's original idea. But I find that I spend more time doing a lot of the adult things in Epcot. So I probably spend more time in Epcot. So I would say Epcot's probably my favorite.
Okay, very cool. How about a favorite restaurant?
It would have to be Ohana.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. I like that once in a while just to hit it. And now this is one of those questions where money's not an object. What's your favorite hotel?
Well, you know, so far it's got to be Animal Kingdom Lodge that I've stayed at, which we just stayed at this last trip, and it was pretty amazing. So I'd love to do that one again.
Oh, very cool, very cool. Okay, next on the show we have Lisa. Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
Hey, Ed, how you doing tonight?
Doing well, doing well. You rested up after getting back last week?
I am. I was one tired young lady when I got off the podcast last week.
And I tell you what, after I listened to that show, you guys didn't really even mention that. You don't realize Lisa had just gotten home that day. So she had done all the flying and all the traveling and rolling into the house after a week being away and then came on the show. So thanks a lot for the effort, Lisa.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, well, let's go through some of those questions then, kind of get a feel for where you came from in the Disney world here. When was your first trip to the world?
1985.
Okay, cool. Family trip?
Solo. I was eight, and I thought, you know what, it's time for me. No, it wasn't.
I was waiting to hear that good story.
So, yeah, it was a family trip. I was 8 years old. I was almost nine. And it was one of the more entertaining. I have many, many memories from that trip. So, believe it or not, first trip and probably top five trips I've ever taken.
Oh, wow. That's really great, actually. Very cool. What's your favorite ride?
Splash Mountain, for certain. Splash Mountain.
Okay. Yeah, I can't argue with you there. I'm going to not be able to argue with anybody's favorite ride. How about a favorite park?
Magic Kingdom. It definitely is the last park I go to before I leave, and usually try to make it the first park we go to when we get there.
Yeah, it does kind of fit that way. Favorite restaurant?
Oh, this should not be a secret to any live show or podcast listeners. California Grill, for certain.
Yeah, I like getting up there. And now, don't forget, this is a money no option question. What's your favorite hotel?
Boardwalk. I don't know whether or not that answer would have been the same had you asked me a year and a half ago, but after my honeymoon, I really loved that location, and I absolutely adore the Boardwalk. I just thought, I start to finish, I thought it was a fabulous resort.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. Okay, we also have Sam with us tonight. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
It is great, Ed. What is happening?
Not much. Getting ready for another trip to Walt Disney World. I can't wait.
Absolutely. We'll see you there.
Very cool. So let's go over a couple of these questions with Sam, kind of let us know where he came from.
So, Ed, my first trip was 1986, just like Jimmy. That was the Magic Kingdom's 15th anniversary, and I still have the pennant that says Magic Kingdom 15th anniversary. Absolutely love it. One of those treasured keepsakes. I was a wide-eyed teenager that absolutely loved the Magic Kingdom, visited Epcot, and wanted nothing more than to go back to the Magic Kingdom the whole time I was at Epcot, because what is this place? Where's the characters? Except for Dreamfinder and the original Imagination attraction, which is amazing, and maybe one of my favorite attractions at the time, which was World of Motion, which we've talked about before. The whimsical Ward Kimmel combined with Mark Davis, absolutely amazing what the Imagineers were ready to do there. Love the history, love the Imagineering, absolutely fell in love with how did they do that, and that's what drives me to this day. And taking my family, as Walt Disney World is the only place where I can take all of my children, which are diversified in age from college, high school, middle school, elementary school, and everybody's happy. It's the one place you can go, and that's what makes Walt Disney World such a great attraction, such a great draw, and a family vacation where we can all go, regardless of where you live. You head down, you experience the getting there, the travel, and then you're in the magic, and that's what makes Walt Disney World the ultimate family vacation destination.
It does. It definitely does. And now we know your first trip was then. It's a family trip. What's your favorite ride?
Favorite ride varies based on what's happening, and that's what you have to love about going back to Walt Disney World. Of course, we all have favorite rides, and we can name one, right? I said World of Motion. I said the original Imagination. Right. I could say Haunted Mansion or Pirates of the Caribbean. It's so hard to pick one, and we went through this before, so
Let me give it some flavor then. We're looking at this as we did this maybe about 100 shows ago. We'll maybe do this in another 100 shows. What's your favorite ride right now is what we're looking at. Because we do, we do change our opinions as we move along. So what is 2018's version of Sam's favorite ride?
2018 favorite rides. Man, I wish I had my Attraction Madness tournament in front of me, because I don't remember what my winner was, because that would have been able to say it.
Well, there's got to be something just in the back of your mind that you're going down there.
And in the back of my mind always goes back to the Walt Disney World Railroad, Ed. Even though I don't ride it every time, but it goes back to the railroad because that's what Disneyland was. It was Walt's railroad that always changes and always does things. And I've said it on the show before, so I'll say the railroad and then I'll follow it up with any number of things.
Oh, sure. Favorite park? I'm going to kind of guess. I can guess what it was or going to be.
It was Magic Kingdom. Now I want to say it's Epcot because Epcot has and is currently evolving to be more than just that future world slash world showcase where you can go and eat in the evening, which is really what it was when I was a kid. It's like this stuff where you're trying to teach me something and then a whole bunch of shopping around World Showcase. It's right. So much different than that 35 years later. I think there's something for everyone, and we'll talk about some of that later in the show when we talk about some hidden gems, because I think World Showcase is a great place for kids these days.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt it is. Okay, how about a favorite restaurant?
Favorite restaurant? Man, I love the Yachtsman Steakhouse. I think it's absolutely amazing. The only on-site location with an in-house butcher. It's wonderful. But I would take lots of sit-down restaurants in the parks as well. But I'll say the Yachtsman.
Okay, that's a really cool place. Steaks, I'm guessing, in there, right?
Lots of steaks. The best thing on the menu is an appetizer, and it's called the Land Garden Salad. And it's called that because everything in that salad came from the Land Pavilion at Epcot. So it's the one place where, you know, you see the lettuce that's growing in Living with the Land, and it shapes the Mickey, the red and the green lettuce. That's the lettuce that's in the salad. And I'm like, I know where this was. This is great.
Danny, you know, I throw something for that. That is really cool. Okay, and now, money no object, favorite hotel.
Money no object, favorite hotel. If it's just me, I may be going to the Yacht Club. However, the Contemporary, staying in the A-frame, walking out of the door of the hotel and seeing a monorail below you and people eating at Chef Mickey's, I'm going to go concierge level at the Contemporary.
Very cool. Very nice. Okay, guys, and again, this is Ed, and I've been going to Walt Disney World since 1976. That was our first trip down there, the bicentennial year, and I was about 11 years old. One of the biggest things that stuck out from that trip was the parade. Totally bicentennial. Colonial soldiers all dressed up, all the costumes, things like that. All the Mickey and Fab Five characters dressed up like they're ready to fight the war. Really, really fun trip. We stayed at the Polynesian. It was just like they advertised it on the Walt Disney Show on TV with the slide out back in the pool, like the rock slide, which was very cool. My parents definitely surprised us with that trip, and it was the start of a whole bunch more trips after that.
Ed, 1976, you stayed at the Poly. I mean, you flipped the coin, and it was Poly or Contemporary. Those were the only two places, right?
Correct, and I think he chose correctly. It was kind of cool, but we could not have stayed in the A-frame part of the Contemporary at that point. They still even had, at that point, the outdoor motel section.
Got it.
So Polynesian was definitely a fun place, and that actually is my favorite hotel. Money no object, I'll be staying at the Poly. I do like to try different places. But because we don't get the deluxes so often, I like to go to places I really know well, and I know that the Poly is a very, very fine place. As far as my favorite park, yeah, I agree with Sam on that. It does kind of change up in Jimmy. Magic Kingdom, though, where Lisa, I agree with her there, too. It is the first park we go to. It is the last park we go to on trips. So Magic Kingdom for sure. Plus, it has all that history going on in it. And that's always a special type of thing, too. Favorite restaurant? That's really tough. I mean, there's so many restaurants that we... I guess Brown Derby is probably pretty cool. And there's so many other restaurants at Epcot we have to still get to. We're more of a counter service family as far as at the times of the park, because we're really kind of counting our minutes as we go along. And our dollars. So... as far as counter surfaces go, Flame Tree Barbecue is always a really, really good place to go over at Animal Kingdom. And, yeah, I guess the, what's the restaurant downstairs by Soarin?
I was about to say, tough to beat Sunshine Seasons.
Yeah, I was like, you
as
can't
far as counter services.
Sure, sure. And they have such a selection that it's pretty outrageous down there, too.
Yeah.
You mentioned Brown Derby, Ed, and that's the first time any of us said anything about Hollywood Studios, which I hope a couple of years from now I can say that's my favorite park, but we'll wait and see.
Oh, sure. No, there's so many things at Hollywood Studios waiting to come up. How can it not be?
I know.
And again, what Sam mentioned too about Epcot is we're going to spend a little time, probably next week, on Epcot, some of the things that we've talked about in the past and some of the things we've seen now approaching the future. So definitely look forward to that, because we're going to spend a little bit of time on that. That's going to be a fun show. Now, before we start, I want to apologize to Ryan McKenna. Now, I was on the live show tonight. I wasn't on it. I was watching it with Jimmy and Morgan. And Ryan was on there, and he gave us some great compliments about loving to listen to the show and things like that. And he made a request because he wanted to have another Sounds from the Park show. Sorry, Ryan. We're not going to have it this week. I said we might have. However, what's going to happen is we'll probably have it in a couple weeks. When we go to the parks, I like to put a show out there to publish or to go live while I'm away. So we'll probably use the Sounds from the Park show. Lisa, Jimmy, Sam are all back from a couple of vacations in the last maybe month or two. Weeks, actually, for these guys. And so we have a lot of fresh sounds to work with. So definitely look forward to that. Okay, so to tonight's show, 240's topic. We're going to give you some of the tips that we have that, and don't get me wrong, we give tips all the time. Jimmy, Lisa, Sam, myself, all the other people that are involved in the show, anybody that goes to Disney a lot, they're the people that give tips to their friends. And that's no problem. We'll tell you the best times of the year to go, what hotel to probably stay at that they might like, or restaurants they could like, or tell them about fast passes. But there's also the tips that we have that we kind of keep to ourselves. And when we say we keep to ourselves, it's almost of a greedy type thing. Do you agree, guys?
Yeah.
Sure.
Because what happens is when you let something good get out, it doesn't stay good for too much longer. And it could vary time-wise, and it could never happen, but we have seen in the past happen so many times, so we do kind of hang tight to some of these tips. Perfect example. We were talking about this before the show. Yeehaw Bob over at Port Orleans Riverside is, to me, one of the best shows on property. I think we all agree on that. Pretty close.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Sure. And when we started seeing Bob, 7 years ago, I think I saw him for the first time. It was great. And you know what? You can go almost every night, walk in, find a seat, find a table, and just relax, watch the show. Well, the word has definitely got out, and it's really tough to see the first show of Yeehaw Bob unless you're there very early. So that's the type of things where we always talked about Bob. It's one of our favorite shows, and it's very crowded now. Not saying it's our fault, but everybody starts talking about it, and that's what happens. So these are the tips that we're going to share tonight that we kind of really keep close to the vest. But I tell you what, guys, for you, We're gonna go to town. We're gonna tell you all about it. So who wants to start?
I'll start.
Okay, well, give me something good.
I don't know if this is too big of a tip. I mean, we did a meetup there, but one of the things I enjoy as a tip and great place just to kind of chill out and relax a little bit is Center Street. And we don't talk about that a whole lot. But, man, if you want a place just to get away from the crowd for a little bit and go grab a table, maybe grab a snack and go sit back there, it's got a great ambiance back there. It's got some stuff, you know, going on in the windows above you. But very rarely is there a lot of people back there.
We recorded a show back there.
That's how quiet it is. We absolutely did record a show back there.
And there's about
and
four
I think
or five...
we might have been the only ones back there, huh, Lisa?
Yeah, I think it was just us, maybe the occasional passerby.
Yeah, some people walk down the street to see that there's nothing down there, and they turn around and walk back out, and they kind of miss the fact that it's, you know, it's how peaceful it is back there.
Oh, yeah. There's like four or five tables with chairs and umbrellas. It's a great place to grab something from the bakery or Starbucks or, you know, wherever on Main Street and just kind of hang out. Or try to get your bearings in the morning or on the way out, too.
Yep.
Before they did the current morning show, when they did the rope drop ceremony at the train station, that was my go-to. If I was going to rope drop, I would go enjoy the morning train station show And then I would go to the Main Street Bakery, get something from the Main Street Bakery, and go right to Center Street.
Nice.
You could still do that, but you'd be going to Starbucks and you'd be getting a Mickey-shaped cinnamon roll and then headed to Center Street. You can still do that.
I don't know if you want to go to Starbucks for it. That would be one. That'd be a whole new another tip. Don't go to Starbucks first thing in the morning.
Yeah, you're right.
Right. And that there's no opening at the train station.
But right. But do you understand the theme of the show? Normally, we wouldn't tell that to people because then Starbucks would just suck in all the other people as we go to the Seven Dwarfs or Space Mountain.
Right.
So these are the tips that we want to kind of keep close to the vest. So, guys, you use them. Definitely use them. But don't pass them on. Okay, who's next?
I'll go. And I have a few things on my list here. But I think one of the things, and I know, Sam, you'll wholeheartedly agree with me, is the little secret about the lounges at some of the top restaurants at Walt Disney World is that they do serve the restaurant menu at the lounge. For example, the Tune In Lounge at 50's Primetime Cafe. Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah, that's a key one. That's a really good one. Now, be specific, the menus and such?
Yeah, the restaurant menus. So if you go to, and I might speak a little bit out of turn here, but I think Nomads, if you go to Nomads, you might be able to get a little bit of what is on Tiffin's menu or the Cove up at the California Grill. You can get what's on the California Grill menu. A lot of the lounges at these top-end restaurants, you can get the menu and get the menu items from that restaurant and have them served to you at the bar.
So mm-hmm. Tune In Lounge hands you the menu from the 50's Primetime.
So it's the full menu.
It is the full menu from 50's.
Same thing with the Boathouse. Go to the bar and get the full Boathouse menu.
Sure, at the Boathouse at Springs. There are some other places that do it as well. I'm trying to think of one that I have used recently.
I guess the bottom line, it does not hurt to ask.
Yeah. At Epcot, Tutto Gusto, you can get the full menu from
Tutto Italia.
And there are some others that do that as well. But the Tequila Bar doesn't do that. So there's a couple. The Tune In Lounge, it starts to rain a little bit. I'm by myself. Boom, I'm right inside there, and I'm getting Dad's meatloaf and the keys to the liquor cabinet. It's perfect.
Right. I guess it's going to be based on the circumstance because, yeah, you're right. The Tequila Bar doesn't have it, but you know what? It's not really that big in there. So
that's probably why.
Or they want people moving in and out because there's always a line in that place. So, yeah, either way. Good tip.
That is good.
That is a really good one. Okay, Sam, how about you? What do you got?
There's so many, and some of them are on my list that I'm still keeping, but that's a whole other secret. One thing that I'd love to do with the family, when we're leaving Epcot on the way out, and that's always swinging by over towards the Art of Disney store and checking out all those lights that are in the sidewalk. Yeah, do you know what I'm talking about? In the sidewalk, there's the LED lights, and you're walking over top of it, and they're lighting up.
Yes.
We can spend a lot of time just watching these lights as we're walking out. So when Illuminations is over and you're leaving, just sort of go to the left and take your time while you're walking out. That stuff's really cool. At least I think so.
Oh, no doubt. That is pretty fun. I always wondered how they did that way back when. Of course, now it's pretty easy to figure out.
Not that super good, but, you know.
Okay, now Lisa kind of mentioned the one I have for everybody, and this is one of those tips that it really is important, and I have mentioned it on the show, but I want to mention it as like one of these types of you must do tips because you get so much done, and if you do pass it around too much, it's going to get crowded and it might go away, but rope drops. If you want to get on the best rides of whatever park you're going to that day, you must hit rope drop, or actually you must... Not must, but rope drop is a definite key. You're going to get on at least the top three rides before everybody catches up. And it works almost every time we've done it. Rope drop to Soarin', never an issue. Usually you can go on Soarin' twice before the rides or the lines actually start catching up to it and it starts growing in wait times. The only place it really hasn't worked, and actually I haven't tested it out, which I'm going to be trying this trip around, is going to be the Pandora Flight of Passage.
So there's two I put on that. It's Pandora and it's Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Yep. And I have.
It used to be Space Mountain.
It used to be Space, right. But so Here's the way I look at that. And in both cases, for Pandora and for Mindtrain, they open a queue area before rope drop. So when you say rope drop, if the park rope drops at 8 a.m., you're not talking about 8 a.m. There are people that will be in line at rope drop for Flight of Passage at 6 a.m. So instead of waiting in line for 2 hours, you wait for them to drop the rope for 2 hours. And I'm kind of trying to figure out, are you really – what you do benefit from is once you're in that 6 a.m., 6:30, 7 a.m., you may be waiting an hour for them to drop that rope. But once you go through it, the rest of the park's empty and there's nobody in it.
Right, right. And I tell you what, I can't testify for Animal Kingdom as far as rope drop and the way it is for Pandora this far out. It's a year now down the road. However, every other park, Magic Kingdom and Epcot specifically, 45 minutes is the time we usually try to get there before the actual rope drop time. And by doing that, 45 minutes to an hour, but not even, it's usually closer to 45 minutes, we'll get there. There's probably about 15, 20 people in line in each of the lines when we start.
That's not bad at all then. That's
perfect. And then what Sam says is true too, because then what they'll do is Magic Kingdom, they'll let us into the hub, where they'll have the rope set up again at the area to the left of Cosmic Rays. And they also have it on by Tomorrowland. As you enter Tomorrowland, they'll have the rope set up there for the people running to get the dwarves and then running to get the Space Mountain. Epcot, they have the rope set up sometimes on the side where Soarin' is. Sometimes they have it set up under Spaceship Earth and they push you to the one side or the other side. Hollywood Studios, they'll usually let you in the main street and then they'll have the rope drop 3/4 of the way down the street. But that's, again, they don't do that as much, I don't think, at the Hollywood Studios anymore. Animal Kingdom, they might go as far as the Tree of Life.
And that's exactly what they did. So we did this last August. We had a last-minute trip, and it was a couple months after Pandora opened, and I couldn't get a single Fast Pass.
Yep.
So we were at – it opened at 8 a.m. We were outside Animal Kingdom at 6:45, and by 8:25, I was off of Flight of Passage.
Yeah.
And then everything else is wide open. Do anything you want.
We did Everest, I think, 3 times in a row.
There you go.
Yeah. And then real quick before I get off the topic, if I would rope drop, and this is in the summer, say Magic Kingdom, I could get on Seven Dwarfs. Then I would usually go over to Space Mountain. I could pretty much stand by that for about 20 minutes or less. Once I get off Space Mountain, then I go to the Adventureland side of the park, and I can hit almost any ride over there. And that's within the first probably hour I've been in the park, not even an hour. So definitely rope drop works out. Epcot, you'd hit Soarin', then you could hit Soarin' again, then you hit a test track. By the time you get the test track now for your third ride, it's probably about 20 minutes to a half hour wait, but that's well within limits. And then you got Mission Space right after it, and you had anything else you wanted to do after that.
Nice.
Yep. Okay, so let's move on with these tips.
I got one that it's a tip that doesn't impact anybody else, but if you're staying there on Disney property in Disney Resort with your kids, you need to do this, which is get a wake-up call. Get a wake-up call because – and then let the kids answer it or make sure you answer with a speakerphone because a character is going to call you the next morning. And it's such a great little piece of magic that will get the kids out of bed immediately, and it's wonderful to hear from one of the characters.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. How about you, Jimmy? What else you got for us?
This is a new one I've done. On our last trip, we tend to really enjoy eating at Rainforest Cafe. Our last trip, we ate a T-Rex for the first time, and we really liked the Yak and Yeti. So on this trip, me and Kim, we decided we were going to go to lunch. We were back by Expedition Everest. We decided we wanted to go to lunch at Rainforest with the kids, and we didn't have a reservation. So I went on the phone and went to Landry's website and bought the Landry Select card. And it's $25, but once you get the card, you basically have $25 credit to use at the restaurant, anyone you want. So I bought it on my phone, went up to the desk at Rainforest, and normally we've done this before without the card, and you know, usually it's a 30 to 45 minute wait. I said, look, I'm a Landry Select member. I said, I don't have the card yet, but I have the confirmation email. I showed it to her. And she printed up the little ticket and said, go right up here, and you'll be the next four top to be set.
Wow, that's a great one.
I didn't want anybody to know that, Jimmy. Come on. I have walked into Yak and Yeti and heard them tell people it's 90 minutes. I showed them my card, and I was the next table to be seated.
It's amazing.
Nice.
It's so great.
See, now, that's
it's 25 bucks, but they give you 25 bucks, so it really doesn't cost you. If you know you're going to eat there, it doesn't really cost you anything.
Right.
So when I was last there, Jimmy, it was May. That's the month of my birthday. And the manager came over and said, happy birthday. You get a $25 credit onto your tab today.
Bonus.
Good like, stuff, huh?
Great. Bring me a beer.
Yes. Absolutely. Good stuff. Yep. That's my new one.
That's a really good one.
Very cool.
Landry's is not just Walt Disney World, by the way. Once you join that club and print off the list of places, there are restaurants all over the country that are Landry's, by the way.
Yeah,
it's McCormick and Smith's. It's the Rainforest. There's tons.
We have Bubba Gump is Landry's.
Bubba Gump is Landry's. There you go.
We have a Salt Lick Steakhouse or something like that that's out here in Metairie. There's a Landry's Seafood.
Yep.
In New Orleans, so that's one of the other reasons I bought it, because I can use it at all these restaurants around here.
You're using points that you can cash in at Disney World. Yep. Is what you're doing.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Very cool. That was a good one.
But I didn't want anybody to know that, because then you get 10 people that are the next person to be seated. Guess what? You're number 10 in the line.
Yep. Yeah, but they probably won't be there at the same time as you.
That's true. And these are our special friends, so that's fine.
That's okay. All right. I'm good with it then.
Yeah. Lisa, you're up. What do you got?
I always refer to this as the hidden gem, and I think that I'd be happy to share this with our Disney Nerds friends out there, but this is another one that I kind of want to, let's keep a lid on this one once it gets to our friends out there. But I think the boardwalk at night is one of the best places on property.
You know, I have started hearing about this, and I think what you're saying is right in that we got to keep this one quiet, because you're right. It is starting to surface, I guess. What kind of things do they have going on?
They've got the boardwalk entertainment. They have comedians out there interacting with the guests on the boardwalk. Jimmy did a really good. Was that you that did the live stream the last time you were there of one of the performances?
No, that was Kendra, your friend.
No, it wasn't. It was Morgan.
Oh, Morgan. Kendra did one too, though, when she was down from your friend Kendra that's on the live stream. She did one too down there, but Morgan did too. You're correct.
Yeah, Morgan did one. And there's just the entertainment down there. You've got the ESPN Club. You've got Abracadabra. You've got Jelly Rolls, you've got the Atlantic Dance Hall, the Bellevue's right there. You can walk across the water and head over to, I really like the Cruise Cup at the Yacht Club. There's quite a bit to do in that area. And it's a nighttime complex with not a huge nighttime crowd.
Let me, so keep this quiet, guys. Now, let me ask this real quick. Last time I remember talking about the boardwalk, we kept hearing the places to go to, and there weren't that many. There was the dance hall, there was the dueling piano place, but I kept hearing about cover prices. I mean, do they still have covers for all these different places to go into?
Only Jelly Rolls.
Only Jelly Rolls.
Yeah.
And Atlantic Dance Hall doesn't have a
cover? No, it does not. Does not. And Atlantic Dance Hall tends to be under 21 as well.
Correct.
So you don't have to be 21 to get into the dance hall.
Did not know that.
Those two are open late. The only heads up I'll give you is that check the hours.
Right, because sometimes that Abracadabra closes early.
Abracadabra closes at 10 or 10:30, and when you think about it, Illumination starts at 9. It's over at 9:27, not that I'm counting the exact minutes, and it goes – you leave the back, and you head over to Abracadabra, and you get there at 9:45, and they tell you it's last call. You're going, wait a minute, what's going on? So be aware, although ESPN, if you're looking to catch a game, if there's a game going on and you're watching Illumination, you could be over there really quick to catch the end of the game. The rest of the family checking other things out. The pizza window is something people rave about. When I stay at the boardwalk, we usually grab a whole pizza and take it up to the room.
Yeah, I love that pizza window. Great, great bang for your buck at that pizza window.
Which is good. And it's just a tiny little window on the boardwalk. It's a good one there. Lisa, it's a good call.
Awesome. Very cool. Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out. I mean, like I said, I've been hearing some rumblings about what it seems, what it's like down there. It almost has like literally like a Jersey Shore type of feel to it. Nice. Okay, so the one I have coming up here isn't too much to say a secret as it could be. However, and I almost guarantee you probably have done this anyway. But until you hear it again or you mention it, you really don't think about it or you don't really even plan for it. Some of the things we love to do is to skip the events going on in the parks. Skip the parade, skip the fireworks, hit the rides. And again, it sounds so common sense, but when you are down there and you haven't been down there for a while, you're trying to get all these things on your list, and parades and things like that kind of get on there too. But if it is the same parade you saw last year, yeah, let's skip it this time and get on Space Mountain or something else like that. Hollywood Studios, there's so much going on between Fantasmic and the Star Wars show, if they show it before the park closes, because I think they do it right at closing some nights. Get on Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster. They definitely start getting low wait times on the standby line. But not if we all do it. So only a couple.
That's right. That's right.
All right. One that I have used many, many, many times. And Lisa talked about this earlier. Location is everything. And the Epcot Resort area is amazing. Whether it's the Swan Dolphin, the Boardwalk, or the Yacht and Beach Club. The Swan and Dolphin. They obviously look a little different than all of the other Disney properties. Right now, today, they're the only ones that really stick up that you can see from a distance. That's going to change with some construction happening at Coronado and at the Caribbean. Here's what you need to know. The Swan and Dolphin are Starwood properties. They're part of SPG. SPG was recently acquired or merged with Marriott, which means Marriott points or Starwood preferred points can be used to get rooms on property at Walt Disney World. I've used that many, many times to my advantage. The SPG credit card gets points that can go towards a room. It ends up being 10,000 points a night. And if you book four nights, you get the fifth night free.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
I've done that many times, and I've gone back to back where I would have 80,000 points. Now, granted, it takes a few years to get 80,000 points, let's be honest. But that 80,000 points turns into 10 nights at the Swan or the Dolphin. And if you're an annual pass holder, it's absolutely perfect. So these are Starwood properties, part of the Starwood Preferred and Marriott Club, which is not club, but they're points. It's Swan and Dolphin or swandolphin.com. Lots of special rates. I talk about Swan and Dolphin a lot.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you're there a lot. You really enjoy it. So why not? Definitely talk about
location
it.
Is why. It's all about the location. It's all about walking a boat ride. First stop is Hollywood Studios One Direction, and you can walk to the boardwalk.
So,
or to Epcot.
And would you walk to Epcot to take a monorail to the Magic Kingdom, or would you be taking a
you
bus
can,
to the Magic
or there's
Kingdom?
Disney bus as well, right? So the Disney buses are there, and there's a bus to Animal Kingdom, Disney Springs, and to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, the standard Disney properties.
Another thing that people may not be aware of, there is a national rental car at the Dolphin. The counter is inside the Dolphin. You can rent a car. The valet will bring it around. You can take it for the day, go wherever you want, and return it to the valet and never have to park it, never have to use it. But if you are a national customer and have earned any free days there or done things, you can also rent one way from the Dolphin to the airport, for example, or from the Dolphin to Port Canaveral, for example. There's some other interesting options that it opens up. That I've taken advantage of many times, but it's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely good to know that one. Okay, well, I got one. Now, this falls under the category of this isn't going to sound like it's that extravagant a tip. However, if a lot of people start doing it, I could definitely see Disney stopping this from happening.
Uh-oh.
One of the places we found to watch the Magic Kingdom fireworks from was kind of out of necessity. One night we had to get on the road relatively early but we had to see the fireworks. We hadn't seen the show that year, or it was a new show or something. I forget the exact details. So we kind of compromised. We ended up going over to the Ticket and Transportation Center. So we were out of the park, across the bay, and as everybody knows, once the fireworks get done, it is a really tough thing to do to get to the parking lot. So as we're walking up from where the ferry dropped us off, you come to the top of the hill that's almost kind of parallel to where that little pastry shop is, and you're almost to the entrances to the monorail. If you turn around and look back at the Magic Kingdom, you have the most perfect view of the castle and some of Main Street and basically the entire layout over there. Once the fireworks start, it is a fabulous location to watch them from. I mean, we were just amazed at how great a show it was, considering we thought we were actually leaving the park and we weren't going to see all of it. However, if a lot of
people...
Is
there any music there, Ed?
It's totally music. Everything is included.
Wow.
It's just like watching it over at the beaches.
Yeah, I bet it's all piped in.
Yep. Yeah. Nice. It's incredible. But like I said, if there's going to be about 50, 60 people just stopping and doing that, they're going to keep pushing us along. They're not going to let us stop and watch it. So definitely, guys, take advantage of this. If you have to get out of the park or if you're going to be heading to Epcot and you want to catch the fireworks at the Magic Kingdom first, this is a way to do it.
You could be able to time that to see the water pageant over there too, I think, right?
I think you could, but it might be just a little tough because I'm not sure if it'll be in front of the Ticket and Transportation Center. It'll be in front of the Polynesian Beach, which is kind of down a little ways. But
that's a great thought.
That's a great thought.
Ed, it reminds me of a spot that I used to love, which is over at the Contemporary on the third level where the monorails come in. There's an outside spot just outside of what used to be the arcade, but it's now the DVC store where you can get, by the way, loaves of bread and gallons of milk and things like that. But right outside there was a perfect spot to watch fireworks. And people caught onto it. There's some chairs there, and it's great. And now it's part of a paid package to use that nights a week. So,
that's how that works.
Yeah, exactly. So for a long time, it was the place to watch fireworks from the Contemporary if you couldn't get, you know, like up to the California Grill or to the top of the world. It was a great spot to go. But
Now,
it's a great example of how those things change.
Sure.
And now, Sam, you bring up the Contemporary, and one of the things that I thought of for this for the show was something that I know you have recently done during a family trip, and I had the experience of doing not only last November when I had to expedite my exit from Magic Kingdom, but I also did it this trip, which was either Uber or drive and park myself at the Contemporary in order to walk over to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, and Uber is definitely a great way to pull that off.
So, yep. And that brings up a good point because we now have the minivans out there, and I understand the advertising point for the minivans is they'll drop you off at the bus stops versus the Uber who drops you off at the Ticket and Transportation Center.
Yes.
So going to the Contemporary is definitely a great way to get around that.
I will tell you one other thing, though. I noticed this trip doing some Ubers and stuff, the security guards are making it tougher and tougher for the Uber drivers to get in and out the resorts.
Sure.
And, we talked a little bit about that on the live show, and Chris, who's an Uber driver, said it's getting a little bit tougher.
No, it's gonna get tougher and tougher just because of the minivan service. You can't blame Disney, but hopefully they keep a more fair eye out. Okay, now I tell you what, guys, we're going to do one more topic, and this is a topic that Lisa touched on the last show, and I know Jimmy took advantage of this when he was down there too, and I'm positive Sam did.
That could be so many things Jimmy took advantage of.
God, it could be. However, for tonight, we're talking about ordering your meals on the app and picking them up instead of waiting in line.
Absolutely.
Jimmy posted some great information while he was down there about Dole Whips. And Lisa, I think you were talking on the last show over at, was it the restaurant over in Pandora?
No, I was at Cosmic Rays.
Oh, right, exactly. So give us some more information about that, guys, because, and I tell you what, for everybody out there who uses this is another one, you don't want to share it. let's keep it there, because you know what? We don't want the lines to start forming on the people picking it up.
That's started to happen already.
Well, hurry up. Let's get used.
I came around the bend and wanted a Dole Whip, and the line was extremely long, and I did the mobile order, clicked him here to get it, and walked right up. There was nobody even at the mobile order stand. I could have walked up to the counter and ordered it and still not gotten it. You know, if nobody was in line, I still got it faster than I would have if I had walked up and ordered it.
Nice.
Right. And I did it at Cosmic Rays. I happened to be with my nieces happened to be in town with their grandparents, and they were jumping on the Tomorrowland Speedway, and I walked in with one of their grandparents, and we were sitting down, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to order something. So the lines were long, and I, you know, sat down at the table, looked at Angela and said, what do you want? All right, we'll get that. Okay. And processed my order, and I sat there for a second, and then I stood up, and I walked over, and I grabbed my food, and I walked back over, and the woman I was with went, how did you get that so quickly? I said, it's a secret. Said you gotta be a really special person in order to make this, because the lines really long. Because I don't even know how you did that. I said, it's an app on your phone.
And I tell you what, even with this tip, there's even another tip to give you, because this is something that some people don't pick up right away. There is the option on this app or this ordering method that once you do get to the restaurant, you need to tell them you're here, you want to pick it up now, because that lets them prepare it and get it ready for you. So if you're in a restaurant ordering it, then you know you're going to say that immediately. But if you're walking down the sidewalk and you're on your way to a restaurant, you order it on the way. Once you walk in the restaurant, you push the button saying you're there. Correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think my experience had something to do with timing, because I still think that if you're trying to do mobile ordering right at noon or at quarter after 12 when everybody's having lunch, that's when most people are in line and when the most people are trying to do mobile order at the same time.
Sure.
And what I ran into was maybe a dozen people all standing around with the same screen, your order's being prepared. But that's because of the time of day,
right?
Versus walking past the Dole Whip stand and being like, hey, I want to get one. There's nobody in the standby line, versus it's all timing still.
Oh, no doubt. And I tell you what, based on the rope drop mantra, basically you get up early, you get on your rides early, you're ready for lunch at 11 o'clock when the restaurants open up, and there is nobody online that early for lunches.
Absolutely true.
So another tip to share, and again, don't share that one either, because I don't want to see anybody at the restaurants at 11 o'clock lining up.
I think another thing is people, and I don't remember who brought this up, but this came up in some conversation that I think some people don't know exactly how to use the app, so they're putting their order in, but they hadn't pressed because I don't remember who brought this up. It might have been Morgan. Was you that you were standing there, and there was like a lady kind of getting upset because her food wouldn't come up, and then you're like, well, did you press the button telling them you're here? No, I didn't.
It was at Flame Tree Barbecue. Angela and I were standing in line for a Primeval Whirl, and I was like, so you want Flame Tree Barbecue? She goes, yeah. I said, all right, well, why don't we split the sampler? Okay, we'll do that too. This and then we order our drinks, and as we're walking over, I hit process order. I walk right up and literally, Lisa, yes, I'm here. So I walk over, I grab my stuff, and the woman is like, I ordered 15 minutes ago. And I said, did you hit process order? She goes, or get my order ready? She goes, no. I
said, well, sure.
So they don't know she's there. So
right.
That's right. So there are still some things that I think people are working through as far as the technology is concerned. But I'll tell you what, that's a fabulous little piece of advice, and let's keep that in our little circle.
Sure. Now, how many restaurants are doing this now? I mean, is there a list on the Disney site? How do we know?
There is a list.
Yeah,
almost all of them.
Almost all.
All quick service counter service. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Magic Kingdom, Casey's does it. Pecos Bills does it. Cosmic Rays does it.
Right. And you brought up another question, Cosmic Rays, before we get off of this. When you order a Cosmic Rays, you're ordering at different sides of the restaurant for different food. Is that still the same way?
No, there's one mobile order pickup. It's all the way at the end of Bay 3.
Okay, because when you order standby line, that is the case. Like, it's chicken on one side of the and hamburgers on the other order line and stuff like that. So that's good to know. Like, you can pick up everything at one spot.
Yep. And I ran into a situation where I ordered my food at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and there was only one bay open. And when I ordered, that was the only thing that was available was what was in that bay.
Oh, good. So cool.
But that was on the app, right?
That was on the app, yes.
You couldn't choose anything else.
Oh, I am misunderstood. Okay. Well, you know, it still got you your food quicker.
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
Okay, now real quick, you mentioned Dole Whip, and I can't really pass this up. Disneyland Dole Whip tip, and this actually worked. I remember reading this, and
Disneyland, you're going to now?
I'm going to do Disneyland because we mentioned Dole Whips. There is two sides to the Dole Whip stand in Disneyland. It literally is true that when you get there, you see the line on the, I guess the pathway side, which was really long. Literally, all I did is just walked around to the other side where the I guess you kind of wait to get inside to what's the ride at the Tiki Room, where you sit in that little area, and there's the other side of the restaurant of the for the Dole Whip place, and there wasn't a line there at all. So I just wanted to pass that on because I really couldn't believe that it worked that well. In that
I heard
was
another
like 12 people on the other side, and I just walked around the other side. There was just one person, and then we got our stuff right away.
I heard another interesting thing about Disneyland is that you can pick up a Dole Whip and take it into the Tiki Room with you, which I don't think they allow in Disney World.
I think that you can in Disney World now.
Can you?
I think just recently started that.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, and it makes so much more sense.
That was the thing, right? And it was sponsored by Dole out there in Disneyland, and you'd grab it and take it and sit in the Tiki Room and eat your Dole Whip, and it was awesome.
But again, that worked so well, I had to mention that again because it was perfect.
One thing to note about mobile ordering that's pretty important for those people that maybe are heading into town and they're going over to Disney Springs. The only thing that you can mobile order over at Disney Springs is Deluxe Burger. So this is really it's centralized in the parks.
Park Central. Very cool.
Yep.
Yep. 22 locations, including Deluxe Burger at Disney Springs.
I don't even know. I mean, Lisa, in your experience, do you really need to do most of the places in Springs?
When it is busy at Blaze Pizza, you really wish you had mobile ordering.
Gotcha.
That line can really weave out.
Sure. Earl's Sandwich. I'd love to have mobile ordering for there. That'd be great to
come
by.
Yes.
You know, so there's a lot of places like that that would help out.
Mobile order your Sunday.
Sure. But yeah, we're going to definitely take advantage of this trip. I can't wait. We're starting to plan out like restaurants we want to hit that we haven't been to in a while. So it's going to be fun. Okay, guys. So that's some of those tips that we kind of hang on to for our special friends. So I hope some of them, one or two of them, might help you out in your next trip down to Walt Disney World. Let us know what you have, tip-wise, that you want to share with us. Hopefully some good ones. And we promise not to share them with anybody else. So, Jimmy, tell them how to get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram @TheDisneyNerdsPodcast and Twitter @TheDisneyNerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys. So that's it for show number 240, the tips we don't share with our families, only with you guys. For Jimmy, for Sam, Lisa, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Kwaha rini.
So long, everybody.
Kongaloosh.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.
So let's go over a couple of these questions with Sam, kind of let us know where he came from.
Whoa.
I'm sorry, guys. They're drag racing Bahamas.
And the next six people for Test Track, please. The next six people for Test Track.
Seriously? I swear to God, I don't know what the hell's going on back there. I'm about to go start shooting at them.
However, not to take away from today's show, which is all about the tips. Now, I first want to tell... Hang on, let me do that again. and Lee Burke too. Excuse me.